that there is a prohibition, we assume a Torah prohibition, to indulge in a mitzvah without punishment. So even though we normally assume that in order to be liable for an onesh, for eating something prohibited, you need to have a kezias in most cases, with some exceptions, but you normally need a kezias to be considered achila. Nonetheless, it's usher to have less. If we, with all due respect to the Hershey Company, a funny Hershey Company, we use their Hershey Kisses as a example of something which theoretically could be illustrated what we're talking about. So we imagined a bag of assorted Yisurim in different Hershey Kiss form, red ones and green ones and blue ones, all types of different Yisurim in these packages. So to eat one of these Hershey Kisses, let's say the green pork ones, so that would be Asur. And it's a machlokus in the Gemara whether it's Asur min HaTorah or Asur midrabanan. We assume that it's Asur min HaTorah, plus all the Rishon and Pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Shlakish was of the view that it's an Isser Dirabanan. Yerushalmi has this machlokus also, with a little bit of a different spin. Yerushalmi has Rishlakish agreeing on certain points, which is not necessarily clear from the Bible that that's the way it's understood, but in Yerushalmi and Trumas, Rishlakish is quoted as conceding that if it's an Isser Hana, or if it's Yom Kippur, or if it's Daikul Hashlam, the person plans on finishing it, that there is a Isser Min HaTorah. But again, the way it sounds like from the Bavli is that Rish Lakish also these are also Yisurei Derabanan. And the view of Rabbi Yochanan is attached to two possibilities, which may be combined. There's a Machlokes, the Ran and the Tosfos Rishonim, whether or not one is operative or whether it's a combination of the two. But there is a svara and a pasuk. The pasuk telling us kol chaylev, that apparently the word kol is meant to say that you don't violate chaylev only when you reach a threshold of punishment, but all along the way you've been violating chaylev. Any part of the chaylev that you eat is also subject to the isser, even if it doesn't have the punishment. And then the Gemara also mentions the svara of Kevin the Chazin is Trufe Yisura Ka'achel, which we translate very vaguely because it's a whole discussion how to understand it, that because there is a possibility of combining and creating a punishable amount, this is us. And we'll talk in a few minutes about what the range of possibilities are, that what the range is in terms of what that means. Okay. So we also mentioned yesterday that there was a discussion about whether or not there's a flip side, whether this should apply to mitzvot. Is there a concept of chatzi shir in a positive direction? And then we started to raise the question that the Sfarim asked, what does it mean to say there's an isser chatzi shir? Is it a general Torah policy that anytime something is prohibited, so it's prohibited even on a subatomic level, don't get involved at all? But it doesn't really attach to the individual Yisurim. Or do we say, no, that the individual Yisurim apply even on this subatomic level? So the question is, the green M&Ms and the red M&Ms and the blue M&Ms. And let's switch to a different company now. Okay, so the green Hershey Kisses and the blue Hershey Kisses and the red Hershey Kisses. So if the green ones are pork and the red ones are truma and the purple ones are basa b'challah, so does it make a difference? We just reach our hand in randomly into the bag and assume they're all equal because they're all subatomic, so chatzi shir is one general broad concept? Or do they maintain their identities? So is a green Hershey Kiss, is that considered to be pork? And have all the properties of chazer? Or is it something else? And we mentioned yesterday the very practical question that the Ramban discussed. The Ramban really, very explicitly addresses these possibilities. And he talks about the situation of somebody who is sick on Yom Kippur and has to eat. And the Mishnah says the person who has to eat on Yom Kippur should try to minimize the Yisurim, should try to, if possible, machilin oso hakalakal, and try to deal with the least usur item. And only if necessary does he eat something of more intense prohibition. So the Ramban says, what does it make a difference? A chola normally eats less than a shear. So if it's less than a shear, it all loses its identity anyway. It's all one big mess. It's all this broad chazi shear category. It's no difference between Nisr Lav and Nisr Karis and Nisr Misa. The Ramban has two answers. One answer being that it must be this is a rare situation where you have to eat a full shear. Or the second answer, that maybe his premise is wrong. That maybe the identity does still pertain even when you're dealing with a subatomic level, even when you're dealing with a very small quantity, less than a shear, it's still called an Isser Karbis. It's still called an Isser Lav. It's still called an Isser Miso, even though you wouldn't be subject to any of those punishments because it's less than a shear. So really, the Ramban very explicitly expressing the two sides of this question. And then we discussed that this question has been invoked in many other contexts. So first of all, especially because this year we were talking about this before Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur fell on Shabbos, so it's particularly relevant to Yom Kippur and to Yom Kippur Shabbos. A number of points. One point that's discussed is a very mysterious Gemara in Krisus on Daf Yud Ches in the Beis, where the Gemara talks about Me'ilah, Me'ilah taking place over the course of a long period, and perhaps even over the course of several years. Mara asks, how's that possible? How can Aveira take place over the course of many years? You have Yom HaKippurim happening a number of times in the middle. That's going to be Mechaper. So you can't have the Aveira carry over. So the Gemara has two answers. One of the answers being that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper on Chatzim Shuri. Yom Kippur is not Mechaper on Chatzim Shuri. Yes, sir? So that's a big discussion. Very mysterious. What does that mean? Why should Yom Kippur not be Mechaper on a Chatzishir? So, there are a number of theories. It sounds like what it means is that you don't really have an Aveira yet. You have an Aveira in progress. So Yom Kippur can't be Mechaper unless the Aveira is finished. So, if you say that Chatzishir is really a broad policy, it doesn't really have its own identity, except that it's something we're not allowed to do because of its connection to a final Isser. So we're not allowed to do it, but it doesn't mean there's anything to be Mechaper for. It doesn't mean there's any actual Avera that has happened. So therefore, that's probably the simplest explanation, which is consistent with the way the Rukachavra and others explained the idea, but we're adding a little bit to it to make it, I think, a little bit clearer. But the basic idea being that you don't really have an actual Aveiru with a name that you can be Mevatel, that you can be Mechaper for, but you have something you're not allowed to do because of its connection to the Aveiru. But once it's done, there isn't an Aveiru that has to have a Kapar.
Where is this Rukachavra?
Rukachavra is found in the Tzafos Paneach in the Rambam. I'll give you the exact source. The exact source afterwards. So, yeah, hi.
Is anyone mechalik between a case where it's a continued gula, or maybe we don't see aviros as discrete parts as it's happening, whereas chatzishir, which might be a discrete part, and the fact that you've concluded it, would be different.
How are you describing the different conclusions?
Well, so for Megami and Kippur, it wouldn't be an avir, because when you're in the process of stealing something, you don't look at like, oh, if you steal something in Kippur, you don't say, oh, the first half of the avir was not verified in Kippur, and only the second half, you see that as a point. But you don't see it's independent from every avir, chatzishir is put together.
But why not? I mean, if we're talking about the question of amount eventually accumulating, so why shouldn't it be similar?
Maybe chatzishir is something about discrete parts when it's discrete actions, but when it's a continual process, so you look at it.
But is it this continual process is also the accumulation of discrete actions? It's not that it's happening actively on your Kippur.
I thought the case is that it's some type of continual me'ilah that extends for a long time, not that you stole and then.
What you think? So therefore, Yom Kippur is still in process.
Yeah.
Could be. That should make a difference. I mean, that's not what the Gemara says. You're saying that therefore the Gemara says, when the Gemara calls it Palgim Shir, that's what it means.
Because the
Gemara
doesn't use the
language Chatzishir. It's
Aramaic for Chatzishir. The Gemara uses Chatzishir in other
places. Right, but it's hard to say it's necessarily.
I'm not saying that's only
the Gemara. Right, because Palgim and Chatzishir are not really synonyms, but translations. If you used a different word in the same language, I could hear more that it seemed deliberate.
We see other types of Gemara using the same word in these different things.
Correct. It's possible. This thing doesn't seem to be evident from the Gemara. You're right, that the potential exists. Okay.
That's the opposite about the idea of not having a partner. cars and you haven't intended to park for yet.
Yes, except that if you say that you're violating the Isser of Chazer, the Mikzas, you're violating Chazer, but it's not punishable. So then you have the Avera of Chazer.
Well, it's not Chazer until you actually finish the whole shit.
Except that's the side that we're connecting it to. If you say it's not Chazer yet because you're saying that it's a broad Torah policy, that's why it's not Chazer. If you're saying that it's connected to the Isser itself, then it is Chazer. It's Chazer, not punishable. So I think that's exactly the question. So this also ties into another issue that Aharonim discussed, the whole question of why Chatzishu applies to Yom Kippur at all. It's hard to say that Chatzishu doesn't apply to Yom Kippur because the sugya is in Yuma. The sugya is coming off the Mishnah talking about eating Yom Kippur. So they have a hard time separating the two. But logically speaking, one could have thought that it doesn't make sense to apply Chatzishir to Yom Kippur. Because we could say that if it's all about Achila, okay, so then Achila needs to be significant, and less than a Kazayus, you don't have a significant Achila. But if Yom Kippur, we're saying we don't use the term Kazayus, we don't use the measurement of Kazayus, we use the larger measurement of a Koseves, because we're not focused on Achila, but we're focused on not breaking your fast. Your fast has to be consistent. You have to be inui. And if you have less than a kosevas, you're still miserable. You're still mu'una. So then, one could argue that anything less than the threshold is nothing. I haven't done anything to violate the fast. So maybe there shouldn't be an isra chatzishir at all. It should only kick in once I break the fast. So there are those who maintain, the Shlomo Werman has an essay along these lines, that's a raya that Chatzishir does not have to connect to the individual Isser, but it's a broad Torah policy. And even if, in this specific case, it doesn't necessarily make sense, it's still going to be prohibited. It's still going to apply, even without it having a context within this individual Isser. Hi.
He figures it out because we relate to the Yom Kippur of Gemara.
Well, the fact that it applies to Yom Kippur at all, which it clearly does from the Gemara, has to show us that it can't necessarily be a Isser by Isser basis, but rather it's a broad Torah policy. Because in the case of Yom Kippur, it wouldn't make sense logically. But yet, it clearly does apply to Yom Kippur. And we'll come back to that point in a second, but just to mention one other Yom Kippur related idea, specifically in terms of what was relevant this year. So there is a kasha that some of the Acharonim have. They have it in different forms. But it's most commonly associated with the Tzemach Tzedek. It was quoted by the Yosef Engel, Mitzvah Yoni Ashatz, who raised the following question. Why don't we say that Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, that if Reish Lakish was correct, quite a little already a hard question, if we follow the view that we don't follow, so why don't we say that one should make Kiddush on Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, eat a kezias, and no more. The kezias will allow us to fulfill Suda Shabbos, which some of the Rishonim maintain as the Chiyuv Daraisa, but it won't be an Isser Daraisa on Yom Kippur, because since a kezias is less than the shear, so therefore it's a chatzi shear. According to Reish Lakish, Chatzishir is also the Drabbanan. So let's do it that way. You'll fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa and only violate mitzvah d'Rabbanan, so therefore the eating should win. So there are many different approaches to this question. Some suggest that following the Or Sameach's approach, that when Shabbos and Yom Kippur converge, it's not really Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but it's Shabbipur. It's a new combined entity that has its own halachas, and there are no obligations of Kiddush and Suda on Shabbipur. It's not one of the dinim of the day. Others have similar approaches. There are those who suggest that this has to do with a Migo idea. We find in the Gemara talking about Sukkah and Shabbos, that Migo to have a dofalin and Sukkah have a dofalin in Shabbos, that the laws of a mechitza for a sukkah take effect on Shabbos for the purposes of Shabbos as well. But even though all year round it wouldn't qualify as a wall for an Eruv, but during the week of Sukkot it counts because we have a full faith and credit policy that if in the rest of the Torah we acknowledge something in this area, so then we acknowledge it in the other area when they coincide. So if something counts as a wall for the purposes of Sukkot, at the same time it's doing that, it counts as a wall for the purposes of Shabbos. So too, it doesn't make sense to say that you're having a Suda Shabbos, but we don't acknowledge it as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. That even though they have different rules, and taken separately, they can have different halachos, but when they're happening together, it doesn't make sense to say that we acknowledge this for your Shabbos meal, but we don't acknowledge it as a Yom Kippur disruption. So that's another approach that's taken to that question. Why it is we don't make Kiddush, even why Rish Lakish didn't make Kiddush on Shabbos that Yom Kippur coincides with. Okay, hi.
That idea, is that like a standard that you do it, that if you find a certain amount for something, or is that only the, like a Shabbos Yom Kippur you would have to?
In terms of standard amount, meaning what?
You know, mixing standards and say the amount for a single wall.
Right, so that, it's not necessarily a other concept. There are a couple of rayas that it appears in other places, but that sometimes when something gets a definition in one area, it gets a definition in other areas as well, even if it wouldn't otherwise.
So do you just to be more makel or mafmir with things?
Come up both places. Come up for kulos and for homos.
Like, does it make the mechitza higher or the sukkulos lower?
It makes the mechitza lower. In this case, it's a kulo. But it could come out in either case.
Right.
It could come out for prohibitions also. In this case, it's talking about free sir. It works both ways. You have an issue, like for example, so the U.S. government has different laws in every state as far as, say, what constitutes a legal marriage. But if you get married in one state, they're recognized in a different state because it's this full faith and credit idea. So we have a similar idea here also, that if one area of halacha recognizes something, so if it's happening at the same time, another area of halacha could be it gets recognized as well, even if otherwise it wouldn't make money. Okay, so to go back for a second to what we said about Yom Kippur being an area where it shouldn't make sense, and yet we have the halacha anyway, showing us that perhaps Chatzi Shir is a broad Torah policy. So this could also be the explanation of a Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shavuos that if I take a Shavua not to eat today, so what does it mean not to eat halachically? What does eating mean? It means a kezias. So essentially what that means is a taking a shvuah not to eat a kezias. However, says the Rambam, if I eat less than a kezias, I won't get malchus for violating my shvuah, because the shvuah means a kezias. But it's usur anyway, like the halacha of Chatzishir, Nevelos, and Trefus. So the Ran and others ask that that's a hard idea to understand. Because one thing to say when you have Isur, the Torah says, don't eat this, and we mean don't eat a Kezias. Okay, so then we could have a Torah policy, don't eat less than a Kezias, as a general rule. But here, I created the Isur. I said I don't want to eat, meaning a kezias. It's basically like I said, I don't want to eat a kezias. So why should I have a prohibition on less than a kezias if I'm defining the terms? So why shouldn't I have the ability to define the terms as a kezias enough? So that's why some Rishonim objected to the Rambam. And others explained that what the Rambam is saying is apparently the same idea that we just found by Yom Kippur. That apparently Chatzi Shir is a broad Torah policy. It does not have to make sense within the individual Isser. And therefore, there's no reason why we can't prohibit Chatzi Shir here as well.
Right, so then would it be different if he made a Shvuah that he said specifically I'm not eating kezias or something?
Oh, so that's what the Shach says. So the Shach makes that Chiddush that if he actually spelled out the words kezias, so then that does limit it. But if he just used it stam, even though we normally interpret stam as a kezias, So then there is an Issur Chatzis Shir, according to at least the Rambam and those who maintain that view. But then the Shach says that even according to those, if he actually spells out a Kazayas, then that would limit it to a Kazayas. Which should be important, because otherwise the Rambam's position would have very difficult implications. Like, let's say somebody is trying to moderate his eating. So he says he takes the shvu, he's not going to eat more than a certain amount. So then all of a sudden, Issur Chatzis Shir applies to any amount, so there's no way to put such a limit. That's hard to believe. So that's where the Shach's distinction comes in handy, that if he actually spells out and says it means a certain amount, okay, fine. But if it's just a halachic construct that eating means a kazayas, so then the Issur Chatzis Shir comes along with that. Hi.
Where's the Shach's case?
Where's the Shach written? It's in your day, I didn't tell you where it is.
Is he saying that the cases that you're defining the Shir Avila as X? Or that you're saying, I don't want to eat a
kazayas. If you take a shu on a chatzis shir specifically, it's in your day, Reish Lam Nechess Yud Beis. So if a person would say, I don't want to eat a kazayas, then it would apply only to a kazayas. If he says, Tam Achila, so then Achila, which we define as a kazayas, the Malkus is for a kazayas, but less than that is still Asum Yidin Chatzis Shir. So this also perhaps relates to another Rambam about shvuos. The Rambam says, in the context of taking a shvua, not to eat a chatzi shir. Let's say a person has this bag of Hershey Kisses, which he just can't resist. So he has the bag of the green pork chatzi shir Hershey Kisses. So he takes a shvua that he is not going to eat even one of them, not going to eat even a chatzi shir of a Hershey Kiss. Of a chatzi. Sorry. Again, with all due respect to Hershey's. One should not come out here with any chashad on Hershey's fine kosher company. It's just the size of their products and making good examples for this. So, if one takes a shvua not to have a chatzis shir of pork, does that shvua take effect? So, one could have thought that it should not take effect. Why? Because a shvua, as a general rule, a shvua is not chal on mitzvos. Meaning, positively or negatively. You can't take a shvua to go against the Torah, and you can't take a shvua to endorse the Torah. So if a person takes a shvua that he's going to eat chazer, and he fails to eat chazer, so he's not subject to malchus for violating a shvua, because the shvua doesn't kick in. The shvua does not take effect against the Torah. And if somebody takes a shvua that he will not eat chazer, in other words, to support the Torah, and he does eat chazer, so then he's in violation of eating the kreif, but he's not in violation of the filter shuas, because the shuas doesn't kick in that way either. It doesn't kick in to contradict the Torah, or to support the Torah, it doesn't kick in either direction. So what if somebody were to say, I'll take a shua, I'm not going to eat chatzi shir of chazer. Does that shua take effect? So you could have thought it should not take effect. If it doesn't take effect, they contradict the Torah. And chatzis shir is also ben haTorah. So then this is just like any other prohibition. Shouldn't kick in. However, the Rambam says it does take effect. And other Rishonim disagree. The Rashba and his Chuvis, and there's the Kalel and the Rambam quote the Rashba as disagreeing and saying, why should it take effect? Chatzis shir also min haTorah. Like taking a shvu on any other avir. It's no good. So here again, Acharonim explained that the Rambam seems to be seeing this as a broad Torah policy. That according to Rishonim would disagree, so you're taking a shvu in this case not to eat chazer. So eating chazer is a Torah prohibition. So the shvua is not going to kick in. But the Rambam sees it not as a specific iser, but as a broad Torah policy. And then you have to add on the chiddush here that a shvua does apply to things the Torah doesn't allow if it's not an explicit pasuk. So, for example, there's a Ran like this. The Ran, in his commentary to Nedarim and Daf Ches, the Gemara there talks about taking a shvua on the Torah. Gemara says if somebody takes a shvua to learn something, the shvua is going to take effect. It's a good shvua. And the Gemara then asks, but doesn't that already endorse what we have of the Yisabu Yom Galayla? That you're obligated to learn all day and all night. So one approach the Gemara has is that it's possible to learn just a little bit at daytime and a little bit at nighttime, and that's going to be enough for the mitzvah of the Torah. So that provokes a whole discussion in the later Svarim. Are you saying that that's all Talmud Torah requires of you, a little bit of morning, a little bit at night? Don't we have many other Makaros that suggest that Talmud Torah is much more of a broad obligation? So the Ran, over there in the Durham, the Ran suggests that whatever the mitzvah of Talmud Torah actually is, that's a separate question. But in terms of what the Gemara is talking about for a Shavua taking effect on top of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then we only deal with what we have literally in the Pesukim. And therefore, the fact that it may apply beyond this doesn't matter for this halacha. Halacha of a Shavua doesn't take place on top of the Torah, that only applies to the actual Pesukim themselves. So therefore, if you work off that idea, so Chatzi Shir Chazer, is that in the Torah? Well, it depends. That if it's Chazer, then it is in the Torah. But if it's a broad Torah policy that doesn't necessarily come out of any one explicit pasuk, so then maybe not. Sorry? That's part of the question. That is the whole discussion. If it qualifies, you're going to have to put the Rambam into a more narrow box in order to make that work. Hi.
Yeah, but how can you understand? Can you easily say that that pasuk itself means like hours at night and hours a day?
Yeah, so that's part of the discussion of what exactly it means, but just a literal reading of the pasuk doesn't necessarily force us to say that. So that's what the Ran is saying, that even if practically we understand it to mean much more, but it doesn't mean the shvua has to be bound to that limitation.
Even if literally it might seem like it means much more.
Right, so there's this assumption that it doesn't literally mean that, even though that seems to be my hopes from her itself. Okay, so then, hi.
If that's the case, the earth would throw into a smaller box. When the Chazit's Rufay fit more in line with the idea that it's continual of the same Mr. as opposed to Mr. Chloe?
Yes, I think it probably does. That is generally how it's assumed, that the Chazit's Rufay probably does line up with the specific Isser version, and the Kol Chelev probably is the broader version.
So then this wouldn't necessarily be right for the fact that the Ram holds a more broader.
It wouldn't be. Why would it not be? Because the Rambam is consistent with the Rambam holding this a broader version. That's
well, then
what
he
is.
Then he would more likely use the pasuk of Kol Chelev, which might be in the version of Krav.
Well, Kol Chelev is still going to be a. It's still going to be a. Either way, it's going to come out that Kol Chelev is going to be a drasha. That's
drasha art, according to
the Rambam. And that's what I'm saying. You have to put the Rambam into a more narrow category in terms of what counts. That has to be more explicit. So Kol Chelev wouldn't be explicit enough. So right, so works out what she tells them. So this also segues into one of the major issues that can be provoked by looking at another Rambam. So as we mentioned when we did this the first time, that there are two big questions.
Just to clarify, so the Rambam says if you did the shvua on a Chatzi Shir, the shvua is good.
Yes, the shvua takes effect.
Okay.
And others disagree. The Meiri also disagrees, by the way, but we'll come back to it in a minute. I have to explain other things first to come back to why the Miri disagrees. Actually, Miri agrees with Rambam, he disagrees with the others who time on it. But for a whole different reason, we'll explain why. So, big question number one is the question we were just talking about. What is the nature of the Isser Chatzi Shir? Is it Klali or Prati? Is it a broad Torah policy? Or is it a specific Isser? Big question number two can be provoked by looking at another Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah tells us that it's also to have Kazayis of Chametz on Pesach, no big shock. And if you do, the Chayav Karis, no big shock. It's also also to have less than a Kazayis of Chametz, also not so surprising. What's the surprising part? He has his own pasuk. And what pasuk does he quote? Chametz lo ye'achel. Chametz should not be eaten. So this provokes a big controversy. So a whole big story, why does the Rambam have his own pasuk? Together with that question, you could also ask that if he's going to pick up his own pasuk, and he wasn't satisfied with any of the existing makaros, it doesn't seem to be a great pasuk to choose. Because Radavka using a pasuk that uses the word Ahila. And Ahila has been associated with the Kazayas. So to make his point that there's an Isser of less than a Kazayas, Radavka uses a pasuk that actually uses the word Ahila. Kesef Mishnah raises that question, others raise that question. That question, I think, is the easier question, because you could say that his focus is not on what verb is used, but it's on the passive sense. And it's not just saying the Torah is telling you not to eat chametz, but that chametz should not be eaten. So therefore, it's saying that any part of the chametz that's eaten is also awesome. It's actually similar to kol chaylev in its nature. But that question aside, why does the Rambam need his own pasuk? So there are many, many, many different approaches. I think we focused on three, just the ones that are relevant to advancing our conversation here. So one answer is relevant to big question number one. Second answer we'll mention because it's independently interesting. And the third answer brings us into question number two. So the first answer is that this shows you that the Rambam holds that Chatzis Shiur is a broad Torah policy. And it doesn't maintain the identity of the Isser. So therefore, a Chatzis Shiur of Chazer is not Chazer. A Chatzis Shiur of Truma is not Truma. And a Chatzis Shiur of Chametz wouldn't be Chametz either. Except that there's a special pasuk. So that's the Rambam's point, that he believes that a Chatzis Shiur of Chametz is actually Chametz, as distinct from all other Chatzis Shiur. So he needs a special pasuk from Chametz to show that Chatzis Shiur is contained within that Isser as well. So that's the approach that connects to big question number one. The approach that's Stam interesting, which is Kedai to know about, is that we generally assume that the phrase Chatzis Shiur, we talked about before, whether Palgin Shiur or Chatzis Shiur are exact correlates or not. So Chatzis Shiur, we've always assumed, should not be translated as a half shiur, but should be translated as a fraction of the shiur. Anything less than a shiur is still prohibited. And it doesn't have to be 50%, the literal translation of Chatzis. But the Abinezer suggests that maybe it's possible to say within the Rambam that the Rambam thinks a Chatzis Shiur is 50%. And that maybe in general all other Shiurim have to be at least 50%. And in the case of Chametz, he's saying an extra Chiddush that any amount of Chametz is also awesome in a Torah. So that's what the extra Pasuk is coming to tell you. It doesn't have to be just 50%. Why should it be 50%? So we mentioned that could be consistent with the Chazlitz Trufe idea, that maybe the notion of Chazlitz Trufe to say that the prohibition comes from the fact that this can be combined, it has to be combined with something equivalent. If it can be combined with something much bigger than it, so then that's already not significant. If you're saying that it could be combined with something no bigger than itself, and you have an Isser, okay, that's something to take note of. Viscoin Silberstein had an article where he suggested something along those lines. So that's a second approach one could take to the Rambam. Third approach, by the way, before we get to big question number two, but a third approach you should mention because it's in the notes that came in the Rambam, and it's very hard to understand on the surface. But we'll try to explain it before we finish here, is the Maral Nach. The Maral Nach, the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam over there quote the Maral Nach. But the Maral Nach has an approach which logically makes a lot of sense, but textually is a huge problem. Says the Maral Nach, why does the Rambam need a special pasuk for Chametz? Kazi says chametz is different than chelev. What's the major difference? Chelev is usher all the time. Chametz is only temporarily usher. So you might think that chametz doesn't have an inherent bad nature to it. Therefore, it's just an isser on the person, an isser gavra. And that means you have to eat a kazayis in order to violate that isser. There's nothing inherently wrong with the substance. Chelev is always usser. So then I can believe the substance is bad. It's an isser chemz. And any amount of it is bad for you. But chametz, I might have thought not that way because it's a temporary isser. So therefore, I need a special pasuk to tell me that even by a temporary isser such as chametz, there's also an isser chatz issue. So svarah-wise, logically, that's very appealing. But textually, we have a huge problem. What's the problem? Yom Kippur, right? The context of Yom Kippur, ein lecha temporary isser gol mizeh. All the food in the world becomes usser for one day. So you're going to tell me that's more inherent than chametz? So that's difficult, and we'll try to come back to how we can explain that. But that's another approach that has been suggested for the Rambam. So far we see three approaches for the Rambam. Either the Maharal Nach's temporary versus permanent isser distinction, or the broad versus specific isser distinction, or the Avni Nezer suggestion of more or less than 50%. But what about big question number two? Big question number two has to do with the meaning of Chazalitz Trufei, which we purposely translated vaguely before. So what does it mean to say we're concerned Kevin the Chazalitz Trufei Yisurei Ka'ach? So there are at least two ways to understand it. One way is that it's a siyag, a very understandable siyag, which you could call the potato chip svar. And so we know that potato chips, you can't eat just one. You're going to starve the package, you're going to end up going on. So if you had a bag of potato chips made out of chazer, even if each one was less than a kazayas, it would still be understandably a bad idea to have one because you will very quickly have a full kazayas. So that's a very understandable concern. So perhaps there's a siyag that you shouldn't have even less than a shear, because it's going to lead to more. So if you hold like Reish Lakish, that Chatzi Shear is an Issa D'Rabbanan, then it's almost definitely what he means. According to Reish Lakish, that's presumably the whole issue, that in our Torah it's not a problem to have less than a shear. But this is Siag, we're afraid that if you're going to get started, it's very likely you're going to finish. But if you hold it's a D'Oraisa, can we still say it's a siyag? Presumably yes. Right? We actually discussed this yesterday in terms of Tosefta Shabbos, that there is a strong support for the idea that even a din min haTorah can be a siyag also. So it's certainly possible, at least according to those like Rav Yosef Engel who proved that point, that Chatzi Shear could be an Isser D'Oraisa and still be a siyag in its nature. So that's one way to see it. Alternatively, we could say it's not a siyag. That's not what it's about. But it could be what we call the marijuana svar. Right, when it comes to the isser to own marijuana, so there's a shear. Right, a certain amount, you can go to jail for having a certain amount of drugs. So what does that say about pachos mikashir? So the President of the United States can come out during a press conference with less than a shear of marijuana, and I'll say, it's okay, it's pachos mikashir, don't worry about it. Probably not, right? It's clearly that if this is an illegal substance that you can go to jail for, so the fact that it's less than you can be prosecuted for, that's not going to matter to anyone. The fact that we put people in jail for this shows you we think it's bad. So a small amount is also bad. It's not within the reach of the law, but it's still wrong. Clearly the law is making a statement. When it says that we punish above a recognizable threshold, we're saying that this is a bad idea. So too, we could say, keva dechazil is trufe yisura ka'achil, that since if you have more of the same, you're going to get punished. You're going to be chayiv misa or malchus or whatever. So what does that show us? It shows us yisura ka'achil. It shows us that what you're eating is bad. So in other words, the punishment is an indication that we're dealing with a bad substance here at any level. So it's not out of concern that you're going to come and finish a whole shiur. It's that the very nature itself is reflected in the punishment regardless of how much you finish.
Right. According to both of those understandings, though, doesn't that show that the 50% of the yisur is irrelevant? Because if it's a tiag, even if you have less, it's still the issue. And even if you say it's the inherently bad issue, then also less than 50%.
So probably yes, and that's why much more than 50% of the Sfarim that ever talked about this assume that Hatzi Shir is any amount. But within this one suggestion, within the Rambam, this tiny minority of the literature that talks about it, so there is a certain Sfarim that could be connected to the Chazal's Trufi idea that maybe the concern only becomes relevant when we're talking about combining it with an equal amount. It's got to be combined with much more than what it is. That's already not significant. That's how some suggest. But you're right. The vast, vast majority approach towards Chatzi Shir is at a 10% percentage, so it's not going to make a difference. But this question of whether it's a siag or whether it's an indication of the nature of what you're dealing with, this is very relevant to the issue that the later Svarim brought up of Chatzi Shir by mitzvos. If you have a half a kezias of matzah Pesach night, did you accomplish anything? So can we flip it? Do we just have an inverse version of Chatzi Shir by Yisurim? So that could very closely correlate to this question. That if it's about a siyag, so then it doesn't really make sense to apply that to mitzvah. There isn't really a context for that. But if it's about some type of an indication what we're dealing with here, that if you have a kezias, you're punished, so it shows you that less than a kezias is bad. So that logic does flip. You say that if I have a kezias of matzah, I'm a kind of mitzvah, shows me that a little bit of matzah is good. There is some logic to say that. There is some ability to flip that into a positive direction as well. Okay, so if you use that approach, what exactly is Chazal's Trufe coming to tell us? A siyag or something inherent? So if you say it's a siyag, so you might say to me, and you'd be very logical in saying this, that, well, who cares if it's a siyag? Practically speaking, if the Torah prohibits something, so I have to assume it's prohibited. I don't have the right to darshan nafkaminas based on my understanding that it's a siyag. And I would think that you'd be very justified in saying that. It just happens to be that there is a very, very, very strong weight behind those who are willing to see a nafkamina in this understanding, both in terms of this question and in terms of many other areas of halacha, where the siyag svara is invoked. So, for example, there are those who maintain within this Rambam that why does the Rambam say that you need a special pasuk to tell me chametz is aser? Because midin chatzi shir, I would only know that chametz is aser when it may lead to a full shir. But if there's no possibility of it leading to a full shir, Chatzi Shir would be mutter. So therefore, I need a pasuk to tell me that even in the last minute of Pesach, when I have no possibility of finishing a whole shir of chametz, it's still aser. So you might think this is an approach of the far-fetched thereof, but it's an approach that some of our biggest achronim say. Who says this? Shagas Aryeh, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Kiva Eger, and Chassam Sofer, probably four of the biggest names in Gedolei Achronim, all have this approach of the Rambam, that the Rambam is telling us that every other Chatzi Shir maybe is a siyag, or in general is a siyag, and here it's inherent. It's also even when it's not possible to finish the whole shir, even the last minute of Pesach. And this approach that is siag-based is invoked in a number of other contexts as well. For example, the Meiri that we alluded to a few minutes ago.
So the Rambam is saying that only chametz, if you're eating it at the end of Pesach, you'd be chayav, but for everything else.
Sorry.
But like let's say Yom Kippur or whatever, anything else, there's a time limit.
Correct, that if it's impossible for you to finish the shear, and if you're in a situation where you simply the shear doesn't exist for you to finish, so then that's not going to be awesome. So the Meiri has an extension of this idea. The Meiri is commentary to Shavuos. He disagrees with those who attack the Rambam. And the Rambam, we said before, says that a Shavuah takes effect even on a Chatzishir. And the other Rishonim say, why should it? Chatzishir is also Ben HaTorah. So a Shavuah shouldn't apply to anything that's already also Ben HaTorah. So says the Meiri, no, it's not also Ben HaTorah. Why is it not Isser Min HaTorah? Because the whole Isser Min HaTorah comes from the concern that you are going to finish the whole shiur. But if it was a real concern that you finish the whole shiur, you would just Isser this normally, like every other person. So when you take a shiur specifically on the Chatzi Shiur, that seems to indicate to us that there is no real danger of a whole shiur. The only danger is you're going to have part of a shiur. And that's what you're offering to yourself. So since there's no possibility of a whole shear, it's not also Ben HaTorah, and therefore the Shavuot kicks in. It's kind of a fascinating idea. You have this approach a few other places as well. There is also a discussion that the Prima Gaudim has in a number of places. The Prima Gaudim talks about, for example, if you have Yisurim that are about Hanah, do you have an Isser Chatzi Shear? Separate from the Yerushalmi, which addresses this, again, not clear how the Bavli relates to it. But should we say that it's only by Yisuri Achila, where not only do you have the Kedayah Shir, but you also have the Kedayah Achila's Pras Shir, you have a unit of time which binds together two actions. You could have said, okay, I have half the Kedayahs now, and I have half the Kedayahs a minute from now. So those are two separate actions. What brings the two together? If I just add a half kizayis, so what? I can have another half kizayis later. But what's the risk? That's also a half kizayis. What brings them together? So maybe it's the whole construct of kedei achilas pras, that you have a kizayis within somewhere between 3 and 9 minutes, or 2 and 9 minutes, depending on how you evaluate it. So that brings the things together. That makes two half kizayisim come together into one kizayis. But without that, it's two discrete actions. So the Prima Gaudim has a suffix that maybe it's impossible to combine these two actions, and maybe we should say that a Chatzi Shir by, let's say, Yisuri Hana, maybe you shouldn't be asking. He also has the suffix specifically in the context of Gir Hanasha. And when it comes to Gir Hanasha, so one can be chayav to the rest of the Kedayas if he has it all in one shot. To bury it. So let's say you have a gid of an animal, which is itself, the whole entity is less than a kedayis. So if you eat that all in one shot, you can be chayim. But once you break it up, so then it's essentially impossible to be chayim for it, because it's less than a kedayis in total, and you're not having it in one shot. So asks the Prima Gaudim, can you have a prohibition of Chatzi Shir in such a case? Because it's essentially impossible, once you've broken it up, to become Chayim. So it's essentially the same suffix. Do we say it's just the Siyav, or do we say it's an inherent disk? I mentioned that when I showed the Prima Gaudim to Shaka once, he didn't understand why it was impossible, because you could still make a Kazayas by bringing together Gid HaNasha from another animal, then you would be able to add up to a Kazayas. That's a Stama question. But again, the Prima Gaudim's premise is that if the shear is impossible to complete, maybe it should be mutter. So a number of very major poskim have taken this approach that there is some legitimacy to taking a siag into consideration when applying the iser, and that maybe a chatzi shear is an example of that. So there is the possibility of bringing big question number one and big question number two together. that there are those who suggest, a number of later Sfarim have the approach, that when you have an Isser that is inherently Asur, a real Isser Chatzah, so then Chatzi Shir is Asur as an expression of that Isser, and that's more than just a Siyah. But when you have an Isser that is temporary, let's say, it's an Isser Gavra, it's only an Isser on you, but the item is not bad, so then there's also an Isser Chatzi Shir. But it's not inherent, it's a broad Torah policy. And its nature is that of a siyah. So that could also bring together some of the explanations in the Rambam in the context of Chametz. And we said that the Maharal Nach says, why does the Rambam need a special pasuk? Because he needs to say that even a temporary Yisr like Chametz has Chatzishir. And we said that's very difficult because the Gemara has it by Yom Kippur, which is also a temporary Isser. So some suggest what the Maharal Nach means is that a temporary Isser is only prohibited with Chatzi Shir as a Siyag. So yes, there's a prohibition on Yom Kippur, but it's all of the Siyag nature, it's not inherent. Which also fits with every other approach we've had, that Yom Kippur doesn't really make sense to say that you're violating Yom Kippur at all by eating less than a shear, but as a siyag it makes sense. We don't want you to come and have more. But when it comes to a permanent Isser, so then in addition to being a siyag, it's also an inherent violation of the Isser itself. So that could also explain the Maharal Nach and could be a viable approach throughout this whole sugya. Everyone following so far? That's a little complicated stuff. One with us? Yes, any good questions? Anything you want to try to add a few more? Yeah?
The opinion of the Maharal Nach, doesn't the Mishnah Melech quote that from the Ran? He doesn't get into the Yisura Gavra, Yisura
Chetzer. Maharal Nach in Chametz HaMaaseh quotes from the Maharal Nach. Look at the Ran is not for Shavuos. When you're talking about.
But doesn't he bring this idea of because of the fact that you might think that because Chametz is temporary, therefore be put there that you need the pasuk, isn't that?
That's the Maharal Nach. Okay. So there is a question now as to whether or not this can be extended to other Yisur. And this may get us a little bit over time. So in terms of the last few points about Halacha Shabbos, maybe we'll have to carry over until tomorrow before we start our kotzer. But in terms of the question of whether it applies to Yisurim other than Afilo, is itself a question. So the Chacham Tzvi is known for asserting that Chatzi Shir only applies to Yisurim Afilo. That the notion of Chatzi Shir, he understands it is based on Achshavei. The Torah doesn't consider it significant, but you are considering it significant through your actions. He raises this in the context of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. The whole question about how to relate to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, first of all, it's a question of Rishonim, if there is a Shir of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. We assume that in order to violate the Isser of owning Chametz on Pesach, you have to have a certain amount. That's one question. And then if there is a Shir, so do we assume that it's still Usser even with less than a Shir? So the Chacham Tzvi says there's no Isser Chatzi Shir by Yirah, by Yimatzeh, because the whole Isser of Chatzi Shir is a function of your giving something significant. So the Torah says a small amount of food, the Hershey Kiss, is not significant, but you're choosing to eat it on purpose means you are giving it significance. That's actually. So when it comes to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, so how do you violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh generally? Usually passively. You have chametz in your house that you fail to get rid of. So that doesn't show any chashivus. That doesn't show that you are granting any status. You didn't do anything. So therefore, says the Chacham Tzvi, it doesn't make sense to extend chashivus into that context. And there's no Isser Chatzi Shir there. Or in general, when it comes to anything outside of Yisuri Achil. So this is a very often quoted Chacham Tzvi. It's very controversial also, because there are many Rishonim that do seem to apply Chat Yishir outside of a context of Yisuri Achila. The Magid Mishnah has it in the Rambam a few places when he talks about stealing less than a Shavapruta. The Rambam says that you only have to return more than a Shavapruta, but it's also to steal anything. And the Magid Mishnah says, yeah, we did Chat Yishir also min HaTorah. Also comes up in the context of Shabbos. So that we'll actually get into more detail tomorrow. But just to mention most specifically, the Rishon who really links the two sugyas most explicitly is Rashi in our Masechta, Rashi in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Rashi very clearly says that his understanding, Rabbi Yochanan's view, Chat Yishir Asur Min HaTorah, would tell us that it's asur to, let's say, cook less than a shear on Shabbos. So that's the most prominent linking of the two sugyas. There are other reasons to link the two sugyas. We'll have to fill that in a little bit tomorrow for the first few minutes, and then hopefully chop into kosher a little bit. Okay, I hope that's clear. It's complicated stuff. If anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to bring them up, and we'll try to...